Anumeyo bhavapyayo. Anumeyo bhavapyayo. Na bhavapyaya vastunam. Na bhavapyaya vastunam. Abhigyo devya lakshana. Abhigyo dvayalakshana. Atmana pitra putrabhyam. Anumeyo bhavapyayo. Na bhavapyaya vastunam. Abhigyo dvayalakshana. Mataji. Atmana, one's own. Pitra, from the father or ancestors. Putrabhyam, and the son. Anumeyo, can be surmised. Bhava, birth. Apyayo, and death. Na, is no longer. Bhava apyaya vastunam. Of all that is subject to generation and destruction. Abhigya, one who is in proper knowledge. Dvaya, by these dualities. Lakshana, characterized. Translation. By the death of one's father or grandfather, one can surmise one's own death. And by the birth of one's son, one can understand the condition of one's own birth. A person who thus realistically understands the creation and destruction of material bodies is no longer subject to these dualities. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord has described the nine stages of the material body, beginning with impregnation, gestation and birth. One may argue that a living entity cannot remember his presence in the mother's womb, nor his birth and early infancy. The Lord therefore states here that one can experience these phases of bodily existence by studying one's own child. Similarly, although one may hope to live forever, by experiencing the death of one's father, grandfather or great-grandfather, one has definite proof that the material body will die. A sober person, knowing the soul to be eternal, therefore gives up false identification with the temporary unreliable body and takes shelter of the devotional service of the Lord. By this process, one can escape the artificial imposition of birth and death. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Chagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It's a pleasure and honor to be here amidst all exalted devotees, sharing some thoughts on this beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse is the continuation of the Uddhava Gita, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, and he is giving a very interesting explanation of how we can understand the concept of birth and death. Not just understand, but gain realizations of it. So, what Krishna essentially is recommending is, if you want to understand birth, observe the birth and the childhood of your own child. And if you want to understand death, observe the death of your father and your grandfather, somebody in your family. And by these observations, you will realize that you will realize your own birth. The misery is connected with your own birth and the misery is connected with your own death. Now, nobody's childhood is completely blissful. If you see small children and just observe their faces, you know, they go through so much pain and it's fluctuating. Suddenly there is pain, suddenly they're smiling, suddenly they're crying. Suddenly they are smiling, suddenly they are crying. Just observing the face of a child, you understand he is not stable in terms of his experiences and emotions. And the same thing, you observe the face of an old person who is bedridden or who is very, very sick. You don't see too much pleasure over there. Lot of fluctuations. So by these observations, you understand about birth and death, Krishna says. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about the 20 items of knowledge. And one of the items of knowledge that Krishna speaks about is Janma Mrutti Jara Vyadi, Dukkha Deshana Darshanam. He says that Janma Mrutti Jara, these four, birth, old age, disease, death, when somebody understands that these are the causes of misery, then that person has knowledge. And in this verse of Uddhava Gita, Krishna is substantiating how do you gain that knowledge. You gain that knowledge by observation. So I wanted to really explore this concept using a story from the Puranas, and also it's a little part of the Mahabharata also. This is a story of a great sage named Ashtokara Muni, and you'll find everything that is there in the purport here is exactly there in the story of Ashtokara Muni. So here in the purport, in you know, somewhere it's mentioned that one may argue that a living entity cannot remember his presence in the mother's womb, nor his birth or an early infancy. Now, here in this story, we find that Ashtavakra experiences his birth in his childhood, in his mother's womb. He experiences a lot. He experiences his father's death. He experiences the revival of his father also. So he has a lot of interesting experiences which will help us understand this connection even better. So just to give us the context of the whole story, the story is in a setup of an ashram where there is a sage named Udalaka. And this Udalaka has a student whose name is Kahoda. And Udalaka is extremely happy with this student. And he marries his daughter Sujata to this student Kahoda. So Sujata and Kahoda are married together. And eventually Sujata conceives. And at the same time, Udalaka's wife also conceives another child. Now, the guru and the disciple, both their wives have conceived children at the same time. And now, Udalaka's daughter is Kahoda's wife. So that means, the daughter and the mother have conceived at the same time. And interestingly, both the daughter and the mother, they are going through their periods of pregnancy. And Kahoda, he would sit next to his wife and recite the Vedas continuously. And so his idea was that the child in the womb of Sujata, his wife, he would hear the verses, and he would, and nowadays there is this whole idea of training the child in the womb only. You know, now a lot of people are doing IIT training from the womb of the mother. The mother has to listen to all the IIT classes. That is like perverted reflection of what, you know, Kahoda is trying to do. Yeah. So Kahoda, he would recite the verses, not only during the day, but also all night. And Sujata, obviously, she had no interest in hearing, you know, so she would go to sleep at some point. So when Kahoda was reciting, one night, he was feeling a little sleepy and he made some mistakes. And the child within the womb, he said, incorrect, incorrect. In the middle of the night, you know, nobody else is there. Wife is sleeping. And Kahoda is wondering, who is saying like that, you know. And the child, he from inside the womb of the mother, he speaks, Father, I am your son speaking from my mother's womb. And he says, by your grace, I have become expert in the Vedas. And over the last 9 months, I have been hearing very attentively, and I must tell you, today what you chanted is incorrect. Now, the father got, you know, simultaneously impressed and disgusted, you know. First, he is impressed that the son picked up so much, but is disgusted the first thing that the son ever tells the father is finding fault of the father, you know. Imagine, you know, son learns everything from the father, and is finding fault of the father only. Yeah. So, the father realizes knowledge of the Vedas is not only about learning the Vedas, but also learning the attitude with which the Vedas are learnt. So, this child has learnt the Vedas nicely, but he has not learned the attitude with which you deal with your guru, with your teacher. So, because of which, he said, you are finding faults from the birth, from even before your birth. And therefore, I curse you that you will be filled with 8 faults. So he said he'll have 8 deformities in his body. So finding fault is actually committing a fault. So Ashtavakra, this small child in the womb of the father, found a fault. But the father realized that finding the fault itself is a fault. That the son didn't realize. He's still to learn all that. So the child, when he heard that curse, he fell silent, kept quiet. From that point onwards, he didn't speak anything till he came out. And he decided to stay in the mother's womb for 1 month extra because he made an offense like that, you know. Now, obviously, you know, this is an exalted child because, you know, most children don't have the choice, you know. Nowadays, children are not given the choice only. All births are cesarean, you know. Choiceless births, basically. So, the child remained in the womb of the mother for one extra month. Now, when the mother, she realized that the child is not coming out, she realized it's going to be a difficult pregnancy. So, the mother told the father that, you know, we don't have money and this pregnancy is going to be a complicated pregnancy. You should go and arrange for some money. So, Kahoda left to arrange for some money. I mean, they were poor Brahmanas. Technically, all Brahmanas are supposed to be poor only. You know, if you find a rich Brahmana, then something is wrong, you know, basically. So, he went to the kingdom of Janak Maharaj and he decided to find some wealth over there. He initially thought of begging. But then he came across a debate competition in that place. And anybody who wins the debate would get a vast amount of wealth. So Kahoda thought the best way to gain wealth, better than begging, is using your intelligence, you know, using the scholarliness that he has. So he went and participated in the debate. There was a very powerful scholar whose name was Bandi, against whom he had to compete. So he was like a champion debater at that point. So now Kahoda debated against Bandi. Bandi defeated him thoroughly. What Kahoda didn't understand was, if anybody gets defeated in that debate, then they are drowned in the ocean as a forfeit for the debate, you know. So in those days, debates are taken very seriously, you know. Nowadays, debates, nothing is taken seriously. You know, everybody debates and nobody cares for what the other person says. And people don't care for what they say also. You know. They change their opinion after a few days, basically. You'll find that all happening in all the political circles. Suddenly, they're supporting one party. After a few months, they're supporting another party. You know. No value of words at all today. But here, words were taken very seriously. Kahoda was defeated. So he had to undergo the punishment. And he was drowned. So now, when the news of Kahoda's defeat and his death reached Udalaka, he was really worried for his daughter and for the unborn child. Now, he knew that the unborn child was super intelligent. Naturally, I mean, somebody is speaking from the womb and somebody has learned all the Vedas in the womb only, is super intelligent. So he didn't want the child to know that the father was killed in this way. So he signaled his daughter not to reveal that the father is dead. And they just assumed, or rather they just kept quiet about who the father is. So this child was born. And as predicted, as cursed by his father, Kahoda, the child was born with 8 defects. And therefore his name became Ashtavakra. You know, somebody who is deformed in 8 places. And at the same time, Udalaka's wife also gave birth to a son. And that son obviously was perfectly normal and his name was Shvetaketu. So now both these boys are born together. So Ashtavakra assumed that Udalaka is his father. He didn't really think so much. So he just assumed that Udalaka is his father. Actually, he was not his father, he was his grandfather, you know. And Shvetaketu, he assumed was his brother. He was not his brother. Who was he? He was his uncle, basically. So now, in this whole, growing up, obviously, Ashtavakra became a great scholar. Shvetaketu also learnt a lot. And they became closest of close friends. More than just being brothers or uncle, nephew, whatever. One day, while they were having a bath on the river, they had an argument. And the argument was so intense that obviously Ashtavakra smashed Shvetaketu like anything with his words. Shvetaketu got so hurt. Now sometimes when you don't have logic to speak, but at the same time you want to show that you're defeating the other person, what you end up doing is hurting the person. So usually the best way to discuss is if you defeat the person logically. But not everybody can defeat the other person logically. Some people prefer to defeat the other person emotionally. Shvetaketu did just that. He told Ashtavakra
I don't expect you to behave properly because a son who doesn't have a father will behave like this only. Now he got the shock of his life, Ashtavakra, you know, young boy. After so many years, he's realizing that his father is dead. So then he goes to his mother and asks her, tell me the truth. Where is my father? Who is my father? Obviously, the mother had to tell what the truth was. The greatest mistakes of life happen when you take small things too seriously. A lot of people lose relationships, a lot of people lose so much in life because they take small things very seriously and they take serious things very lightly. Somebody says one thing, you keep it so much in the heart, and then one thing that person says is so petty. It's so petty. But we give so much emphasis and seriousness to that. And then when we hear serious things in the Bhagavatam, when we hear serious things spoken by devotees, we take it very lightly and casually. That's the problem in Kali Yuga, basically. You know. So here, Ashtavakra, he got so hurt by the words of this boy, and the mother also told him the reality, how the father died. Immediately, Ashtavakra decided, I am going to go and take revenge on my father's death. So he decided to leave for Janakpuri, and Shvetaketu, he decided, I will accompany him. Now, at least in the past, whenever fights would happen, after a few minutes, they will forget the fight and focus back on the relationship. Today, when fights happen, the focus is so much on the fight itself that they forget the relationship. Ashtavakra and Shvetaketu fought so intensely, but in a few minutes, they just completely forgot and they became the best of friends again. They started traveling towards Janakpuri together. Obviously, Shvetaketu begged forgiveness from Ashtavakra and Ashtavakra forgave him. In fact, Ashtavakra became grateful to Shvetaketu because he said, because of you, I know the truth of my father's death. Otherwise, all life I would not have known only who my father was. So then both of them set aside their differences and they went towards Janakpuri. When they entered Janakpuri, instead of being welcomed properly, there was a whole group of youngsters who were making fun of Ashtavakra. Imagine, you know, a person who is deformed in 8 places. So when Ashtavakra would walk, he would struggle really to walk. If somebody is deformed in one place itself, it's such a struggle. A lot of people derive pleasure in making fun of others' weaknesses. And that's the most demonic way to derive pleasure. There are many healthy ways to derive pleasure. But a lot of people choose the easy way to derive pleasure, which is making fun. So when Ashtavakra Muni was walking, he was walking in a very weird way. So all these boys that were running behind him, they were saying that, look at this, even a snake will feel ashamed by seeing your walk, you know. You're slithering worse than a snake. And one boy started saying, maybe we should send all the girls of our kingdom to see him, how he is walking and learn from him. Special style of walking, you know. And they were really making so much fun of Ashtavakra Muni. But Ashtavakra, though he was a small boy, he was a very realized child. Why? Because he realized, these people are doing the very same thing that I did in my childhood. What I did? I found fault with my father. And these people are finding fault with me. They are big fools, you know. So Ashtavakra had the realization at that age. Why? Because the father helped him learn the first lesson of life by cursing him. Now, apparently we might say that, what kind of a father is this? What kind of a father curses his own son to be defective like that? But you must know that these brahmanas, these great sages, they are not bothered about body. They are bothered about the defect of the consciousness. So Ashtavakra's father, Kahoda, was not bothered that his son is going to be defective in the body. He was more bothered and disturbed by the fact that maybe my son will come out defective in the mind, in the consciousness. So he said, better he be defective in the body than be defective in the mind. And now when Ashtavakra was being made fun of, that teaching helped. The father's teaching helped him. So now, the boys, they just didn't bother about, you know, these people teasing. They just walked towards the palace of Janak Maharaj. And when they reached the palace, they realized that there is a massive debate being organized over there. Again, Bandi had thrown a challenge. And this time it was an open challenge. Anybody can come and, you know, try to defeat him. Immediately, Ashtavakra wanted to be a part of this. So Ashtavakra tried to enter that gates where the Brahmanas were entering one after another. The gatekeeper stopped him. He said, only the older Brahmanas are allowed inside. Boys are not allowed. Ashtavakra looked at him and he said, what old age are you talking about? He says, I am Gyanavriddha, I am Tapavriddha, I am Shilavriddha. Why are you only talking about Vayovriddha? Vayovriddha means old age according to age, the body. Gyanavriddha means old age according to knowledge. Tapavriddha means old age according to austerities. And Shilavriddha means old age according to character. He said, I am old according to knowledge, I am old according to character, and I am old according to tapasya. I have done enough. So why are you so much insisting on old age according to body only? Now the gatekeepers, obviously they were not logicians, you know. They couldn't argue with this boy. So they said, just don't show your pride over here. Only a very rare soul is truly learned. He said, a truly learned person is as good as a rainbow that is fallen on the ground. Very, very rare. You know. So Ashtavakra, he started saying that you can't judge the potential of a tree to grow fully before it reaches a certain age. Many of the small sized trees also bear fruits. It's not that the tree has to grow really big to bear fruits. Some small trees also bear fruits. Grapes are grown on small trees. You know, you don't have to wait for, you know, the tree to become big to give fruits. So the gatekeeper realized that, you know, no point in arguing with this boy. He is too smart. And, you know, there is no point in discussing. So he just kept saying, you know, when you are old, come back. So just when Janak, when this gatekeeper was doing this, he said, Ashtavakra got really angry. And he started telling him, go and tell Janak Maharaj and go and tell that Bandi that I have come to defeat him. Now the gatekeeper, he realized this boy is getting angry. And the gatekeeper also realized, if in a moment this boy is going to curse me, you know. So he didn't want to deal with that. He ran and told Janak Maharaj that this boy has come and he is really, you know, pestering me too much. So then Janak Maharaj called this boy inside, Ashtavakra Muni inside. And Janak Maharaj told Ashtavakra that before you go and meet Bandi, I want to test you whether you are qualified to meet Bandi or not. So he said, I am going to ask you some questions. And if you answer my questions, then I will send you to the debate. So Ashtavakra was ready and Janak Maharaj started asking questions. And Janak's questions were riddles, basically. Every question Janak Maharaj was asking was like in the form of a riddle. So he said, what has 12 parts, 24 joints and 60 spokes? Ashtavakra immediately said time. And then he said, who among the celestials gives birth to two things that go together and who swoop down like hawks? Janak Maharaj, he asked this question. Immediately, Ashtavakra answered, the two things that go together like horses are thunder and lightning. They go together. And he said, these two things are produced by the clouds. And clouds swoop down like hawks, propelled by the wind. And then Janak Maharaj asked, what does not close its eyes even when sleeping? Ashtavakra said, fish. And he said, what doesn't move when born? Ashtavakra said, egg. He said, what has no heart? Ashtavakra said, stone. And Janak Maharaj said, what increases its speed? Ashtavakra said, river. Janak Maharaj immediately understood. He said, you are not a boy. You are not at all an ordinary boy. you are not even a man. He said, you are not even a human. You are definitely a God in disguise. Janaka was like highly impressed with Ashtavakra Muni. And he said, I want to immediately declare a debate. And he declared a holiday in his kingdom. And he organized a massive debate. He said, everyone in the kingdom has to come here today. Because Janaka Maharaj knew that this debate is not going to be an ordinary one. So practically the whole city was invited and everyone assembled in a massive stadium. And in the middle of the stadium, this debate competition was organized. You can imagine how much emphasis a kingdom is giving, a king is giving about for knowledge. Now, these kind of debates are never organized. What is given emphasis? Cricket. Stadiums are filled for people playing bat and ball and you know, all kinds of sports. But when it comes to understanding knowledge and sharing knowledge, nobody is there. Empty stadiums, basically. You know. So here, Janaka Maharaj, he declared that there is going to be a massive debate. Now, everybody was expecting like a powerful debater to come inside, who are like Bandi, you know. And in walked this small boy with 8 defects, you know, walking very weirdly. The whole kingdom, everyone was bewildered. He said, this boy is going to defeat Bandi or even, you know, fight against Bandi. So everybody started making fun. And Ashtavakra, he just didn't care. Immediately after that, Bandi came. And Bandi didn't come walking. He came in a palanquin. And before him, there were hundreds of people walking, chanting mantras and glorifying Bandi. And after him, there were hundreds of people walking, glorifying Bandi. And this guy came in a palanquin. Now you can imagine the kind of opulence and the kind of respect that Bandi has. And as soon as Bandi entered, he got off that palanquin. The whole stadium, everybody stood up. Why did everyone stand up? They stood up because they respected his knowledge and his understanding of scriptures. When Bandi saw this small boy, he was like, you know, he was bewildered. He said, King has called me to debate against this baby, this child. He said, absolutely, this boy will not even last as many minutes has his as years in his age. So then he told Ashtavakra that this boy has come to drown in the ocean of Bandi's knowledge. And then, you know, Ashtavakra, he started laughing. He said that you are claiming to be a big scholar, but you have not even heard me speak. You are thinking that you are fire and you will consume me. You don't understand that I am fire and you have just walked into my den. And then he says, a person can roam around safely in the forest as long as you don't wake up a sleeping tiger or you don't stamp on the tail of a snake. So he said, a weak person may claim with great pride that I can crush a mountain to pieces. But if he tries to crush a mountain, he ends up hurting his hands only. Now imagine a small boy speaking words like this. Bandi gets furious. He gets wild. He gets really angry. Bandi, he doesn't argue anymore. He immediately begins a debate. And his debate is a very interesting debate. So he makes 4 or 5 statements. That's all. And all the statements, the 4 or 5 statements are not connected to each other. And he doesn't ask a question also. He makes these 4 or 5 statements and waits. Now, Ashtavakra has to figure out what these statements mean. And he has to figure out what is the answer to these statements. So he said, fire alone blazes in various forms. The sun alone illuminates the universe. Indra alone is the hero of the celestials. Yama alone is the lord of the ancestors. That's it. He made these 4 statements and stopped. Now everybody was wondering, what the hell does that mean? You know, what is expected of Ashtavakra? First of all, what these 4 statements mean? And what is it in connection with the debate that Bandi has just thrown? Nobody understood what the question was only. But immediately Ashtavakra spoke something. He said, the celestials Agni and Indra move together. Rishis Narada and Parvata Muni move together. The Ashwini Kumara's twins move together. The soulmate's husband and wife move together. The two wheels of a car move together. And he stops speaking. Now, Bandi, he had not expected this from a child, you know. Though he was a little bewildered, he continued. Third argument. He said, three living entities are born as a result of their actions. Three Vedas are invoked during sacrificial ceremonies. Three different times of the day are recommended to perform sacrifices. Three divine lights exist. So now if you understand, they are building up. First he spoke about ones. Ashtavakra spoke about twos. Now he is speaking about threes. Then Ashtavakra says, there are four ashrams. There are four varnas. There are four different cardinal points. There are four letters. And there are four legs in a cow. He stopped. Then Bandi started saying, there are five types of fires. There are 5 points in measuring meter. There are 5 types of sacrifices. There are 5 locks on the head, on the heads of apsaras. There are 5 sacred rivers in this world. Ashtavakra immediately started saying, 6 cows need to be donated on establishing the sacred fire. 6 seasons exist on the wheel of time. 6 stars form the Kritika constellation. 6 sandhyaskas, sacrifices are recommended by the Vedas. Now, Bandi was bewildered. Nobody has ever spoken beyond 2 or 3 at max. And here they have reached 6 already. The Bandi continues. He says, there are 7 domestic animals. There are 7 wild animals. 7 meters are used during completion of sacrifices. There are 7 divine sages. There are 7 ways of paying respects. There are 7 strings on the veena. Bandi realized, after this, Ashtavakra cannot speak anything further. He said, this is enough. Ashtavakra didn't even take 1 second. He said, there are 8 bags hold 100 folds. 8 swara animals eat the lions. There are 8 vasus among the celestials. 8 angles of a upa stick used in sacrifices. Now Bandi was bewildered. He said, nobody ever had spoken beyond 7. Bandi said, 9 mantras are used when kindling a fire to perform sacrifices for the ancestors. 9 progressive steps lead to creation. 9 letters make the foot of a meter. 9 numbers are used in mathematical calculations. Bandi was hoping Ashtavakra doesn't speak anything further. But Ashtavakra continued. He said, there are 10 cardinal points. 10 times 100 makes 1000. 10 months make a woman's conception period. 10 teachers of true knowledge. 10 haters of knowledge. 10 types of people who can obtain true knowledge. Bandi was gone. By this time, Bandi was like half dead. He was sweating. And he was thinking, what is the next one? You know, he didn't know what is the next. He started thinking a lot. And then he said, finally, there are 11 enjoyable objects in this world. There are 11 upas or labels used in sacrifices. Every living entity goes through 11 natural states. 11 rudras exist. Immediately, Ashtavakra started speaking. There are 12 months in a year. There are 12 letters that compose the foot of a yayati. There are 12 sacrifices. There are 12 adityas among the sages, among the celestials. Now Bandi, he had to speak the next. He started saying, 13 lunar days are considered auspicious. 13 islands exist on the earth. And then Bandi couldn't remember the next. His memory just froze. He couldn't remember the next few 13s basically. And when Ashtavakra realized that Bandi is struggling too much, he spoke. He said, there are 13 sacrifices that are presided over by Keshi. 13 are devoured by Atichandas of the Vedas. By this time, Bandi, he had no strength left. He fell at Ashtavakra Muni's feet. He started begging forgiveness. He said, I accept you as my master. No one can ever speak more than this. Janak Maharaj jumped up and he started clapping his hand. He started saying, the Bandi is defeated. Ashtavakra, he was not so much bothered that Bandi is defeated. He said, I want the Bandi to go through the same thing that my father went through. And he told that Bandi has to drown in that same ocean. And then Janak Maharaj ordered for the Bandi to be taken, you know. Now all this while, Bandi has been throwing people into the ocean with great pride. And now that he is defeated, He is getting to taste the same thing that he gave all others. And Janak Maharaj's people picked up Bandi and threw him into the ocean. And interestingly, as soon as Bandi drowned into the ocean, in that instance, from that ocean rose a beautiful celestial being. Now, this celestial being, he was the son of Varuna, the god of the ocean. And he said, for the past 12 years, my father Varuna has been performing a series of sacrifices. And he needed pujaris for the sacrifices. And he only needed the best of the best scholars, the purest of the purest. He said, I've been conducting debates every year over here, so that I can send every year one pujari for assisting in the sacrifice. And he said, the 12 years are over and the sacrifices are over. Now all of them who are drowned will come back to life. And immediately the 12, you know, debaters who had drowned, they came back. And Ashtavakra Muni's father also came back from that, you know, situation. And Ashtavakra Muni was reunited with his father after practically first time the father and son are meeting one another. Ashtavakra Muni jumped and embraced his father. Kahoda kissed his son on the forehead. And he said that a man desires a child. Usually when a child is born, the father is so proud. But you're a son who has made the father proud, not by just taking birth, but by giving me birth. So the father gives birth to son, but here the son has given birth to father, you know. So then the father and the son, they all three return back to the ashram. And Udalaka, his daughter Sujata, they all extremely happy with all that happened. And at the end of this whole thing, Ashtavakra Muni's father, Kahoda, he touched his son. And as soon as the father touched the son, all the eight bends got straightened. And Ashtavakra Muni became completely, you know, normal. All his deformities were gone. But Ashtavakra Muni retained his name, Ashtavakra. Because he realized that these deformities physically may have gone, but any time mental deformities may come back into my life. So he said, I don't want those mental deformities of finding faults, especially from of my superiors, of my seniors, to happen in my life. Therefore, I don't want to change my name from Ashtavakra. So he retained his name. Now, the interesting part in this whole episode is that the whole story begins with a child in the womb of his mother learning something from the father, and the child finding defects in the father. But it ends by the child reviving the father, saving the father's life, and the father realizing that my child has overcome all his deformities. Now, this essentially is the whole guru-sishya relationship. The guru-sishya relationship is where the disciple is in the womb of his mother. Now, material nature is like the mother. Krishna is the father, the spiritual master is representative of the father, and all of us, we are in the womb of the mother in our devotional consciousness. We are like small children when we are born. And when we are born, the duty of the spiritual master is to give us knowledge, give us gyan. And we use that knowledge. And sometimes when we learn so much, we become greatly proud of our own learning. And we become so proud that we tend to find faults in our own teachers. We tend to find faults in our own people whom we are supposed to respect. And the result of that fault finding is that we get cursed. And the curse may be so many ways. And every curse that comes is also the guru's grace only. The guru, whether he blesses you or curses you, whether he speaks good things to you or he chastises you, both is for our benefit only. When the spiritual master curses us, it is only to help us overcome our defects. And then, just like Ashtavakra, we have to struggle through our whole life trying to overcome our defects. And there will be a point of time where we will get a chance to make our guru, our teachers, our superiors proud of us. The day the teachers and the superiors realize that this person may be a scholar, maybe having a lot of knowledge, maybe having a lot of experiences, but in spite of that, he is not deformed mentally. That is the time when the spiritual master decides to bless us. And when the spiritual master blesses us, all our deformities are gone, and but at the same time, it leaves us with a memory. The memory that we should be careful that these deformities may anytime come back into us. Therefore, just like Ashtavakra has retained his name as Ashtavakra, we also should retain our names in terms of understanding that we can be fault finders at any time. And therefore, we need constant reminders that we need somebody who can keep reminding us to be conscious of finding faults and overcoming this weakness. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments at this point? Very, very grateful for your patient listening. Hopefully, it's something that I spoke today would have helped you in your spiritual lives. If there is, please do give me a blessing so that I can practice what I spoke, especially about the mood of not finding faults. And if there is anything that I spoke which is wrong or mistaken, please forgive me for that. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai.